Hello everyone, I'm your Tilaka Kumar, the host of Selaika Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to inspire and empower women to pursue an excellent sales career by filling the gender gap, to live to the fullest of her potential and to achieve financial independence. I will be interviewing amazing successful women sales leaders and entrepreneurs from India and around the globe, where we discuss their sales journey, their challenges, their wins, and much more. Let's dive in. Let me talk about our today's special guest. She's Catherine. She is CEO and founder of The Social Selling Agency. She's as well as sales and marketing consultant for Unsilenced Voices. And she's a LinkedIn strategist, chapter president of NAWSP, that means National Association Women in Sales Professional. And Catherine has built a rapid growing followers of over 10,000 sales and marketing professionals, and she's an authority on sales. And she has 20 years experience in pharma sales. So let's get into the call. I welcome Catherine. Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. I actually have over 30 years of experience in clinical laboratory sales and others in business development and international business development. And the only pharma experience I have is more in assay development and research sales as it relates to clinical laboratory medicine. So I don't want anybody to say, she's never sold pharma. You're absolutely right. I haven't. But a lot of times when people heard in the past that I sold clinical laboratory testing or esoteric laboratory services, they would still introduce me as saying, she sells pharma, because I guess any medical sales rep is a pharma rep in layman's terms. True. So we'll go with that.
So I want to know about how it all started in sales for you, because, you know, being a woman, getting into sales, it's complicated, right? Like how it all started, the sales journey for you.
Yes. So my story is I was working in a clinical laboratory while I was going to college. And when I saw this woman that would show up in the laboratory dressed in a suit, back in those days, ladies, we wore suits. Okay. That's quite some time ago. Wow. She had a suit on. She was always with like something I considered designer glasses. I was working in client services at the time in the laboratory. And when I would watch her leave, she pulled out like in a late model Mercedes. And I was like, what the hell does she do? Like, what does she do? Whatever it is, I want to know more about it. So I learned that she was a clinical laboratory sales representative. And I was going to school to be the lab technician. And I really wasn't seeing myself with the white lab coat on day after day, doing laboratory testing. And it turned out that when it was my turn to go into my rotation for actual working in the laboratory, there were only 14 slots in this program I was at Arizona State University. And I did not get accepted into one of those slots. And I was crushed. I think that started a lot of my mindset of not being accepted or not being good enough. Right. Mm-hmm. It was, and today I want to talk a lot about mindset. And so the options were to stay in school and take more classes or change my major and graduate in the next semester and go on. And I was like, I'm done with you people. I am so done with school. I went out. The world is huge. It's, you know, the world is my oyster. What am I going to do next? I still am going to chase what this woman was doing. So fast forward, I actually ended up getting a sales position with that exact company.
Wow.
Years later, I actually got her exact territory calling on the same company I worked at when I was 18 years old. So I actually set a goal in my head and 100% achieved it. And it was really interesting. Wow. I have goosebumps even just telling that story. But I knew that I wanted to get into sales. And I knew that I needed to have some experience. So what did I do? I sold extended warranties for washers, dryers, TVs. And back in the day, we had VCRs. So that's how I got my start, was telemarketing for a company called RCA, way older than you would ever imagine the name. And I started selling extended warranties. And then my senior year in college, I started doing telemarketing for a bank. And I was selling bank accounts and mortgages and opening up accounts in the middle of the night, right? So it was inbound calls. It was my senior year of school. I was just talking about somebody about this. And I take my pillow and my blanket to work. I set up a little bed under my cubby hole and I put the phone under my pillow. And when it rang, I was like on fire. Kind of funny. Because I was going to school full time in my senior year, finals, and still working. I always worked through college. And I talked to my son about that now, and he's like, yeah, Mom, but you didn't have, you know, the class load I had. And I'm thinking, I had chemistry labs and physics labs, and I was in Spanish. So we had a lot of long classes. It's not relevant, but so my son is finally working. But anyway, that's how I got my start. And I never looked back. I really just continued to take on more projects. And there were some bumps along the way. And I think one of the questions that you wanted to ask about was some of those pitfalls, some of the things that happened to me as a young woman. So I was the youngest sales representative for the company that I was working for, this clinical laboratory. Latina, I don't even think there were other Latina women, but the youngest woman. And I started, I moved my way up in the company from specimen processing to result entry to, I was administrative assistant to the national director of sales. And I always showed up in a suit, and I was always there early before anybody else in the company. And I worked on weekends, and I came in on the weekends. I just knew I wanted to do more than what I was doing, and I needed to prove myself. And I did it. And I eventually got promoted into sales. But when I was in sales at this young age, there was a new vice president of sales, and he alluded to the fact, and I'm just going to say it, that he thought I had slept my way to the top, into sales, which was really interesting, right? Because I was like, gross, first of all, but I was 24. I didn't know, you know, and someone had made a complaint that I wore see-through tops, right? Once again, where were the mentors back then, right? Where was someone to help me with my grooming and help me with what to wear? I didn't care. I just got dressed and I knew I just got out there and I sold. And a message that I could also give to some of the younger women that might watch this, you know, that being young is a beautiful thing. You don't have baggage. You don't have things. You are just busting through it. You have goals. You have visions. You're just going. You don't know any better. And that's why sales teams need young people on them, because they are eager to please. They're eager to meet goals. And they learn. They learn quickly. And so, yeah, I had that pitfall where the VP of sales and the director of sales tried to get rid of both myself and another woman at the same time. They flew us into this airport. They told us we weren't allowed to talk to anybody about the situation. They're putting us on some sales improvement plan. And we were already best friends. So they flew us in. We already knew we were both being called. We compared the notes. I hired an attorney. They offered to relocate me anywhere in the United States that I wanted to go to get away from this sales manager that was not even passing what he was doing through HR. And my best choice was to leave the company, which is what I did. And so that was really tough, seeing that those men got together and were trying to get rid of these two women and making shit up and doing it without passing it through HR. I mean, it was tough, you guys, back in the day. It was tough. Fast forward, I was in management. I was thinking that this morning. I haven't had true classic management training. This is another thing that I want to state, which is a mindset thing. You know, some people might think, I can't apply for management, maybe just women. Okay. I can't apply for a management position. I have no management experience. You know, I have been in management since 1997. That's a long time. No classic management experience. I love to manage, and you just develop your own style. You learn, you look to outside sources, you take classes. Now there's so many courses and everything you can imagine to learn. Don't always depend on the company you're working for to teach you the skills that you need to make it to the next level, or you're always going to be waiting for them, right? So I just went for it. I learned the skills. I was successful in sales. So my management style has always been and is to this day to teach what I know how to do, to get in the field with my sales reps, to give them tips that I would have done in a situation, but I want them to make it their own. We always brainstorm. We always talk about how are we going to close a deal? What are we going to do? What could we have done better in that call? What are we going to do next in the next call? So always a coaching. That's my management style. Always coaching, always helping, bringing it. I'll go learn something new and then I'll bring it to the team and teach them. Always helping people up level their skill set. So that's always been my management style. And we've had a lot of success in my years. And then the pandemic hit. And I was already consulting on the side. And I was quickly able to replace my day job, take home pay, by doing some laboratory consulting. And the social selling agency has been going since then. So that was a long story, but there were a couple lessons in there, right? Lessons were to set your eyes on what you want and to go after it. Pick up the skills that you need along the way to make it happen. And don't let other people get in your way. There's going to be people that are going to try to knock you out of your goal. They're going to come in, but you keep your eye on the ball. And if it smells like a rat, it's probably a rat. Call it out and go someplace else, because you need to be somewhere where you are surrounded by supportive people. You need an upline mentor and a champion, no matter where you are. If you can't find it in your organization, join a female organization or guys. I don't know. You can find mentors. I've had lots of wonderful men mentors through the years. Find someone that's going to give you the refining that you need to get to where you want to go. But one thing that I lacked, which I'm learning today, is mindset. And I think a lot of the mindset problems that I've had in the past were from those young ages of people telling me that I wasn't good enough. Like those two gentlemen were 100% telling me I wasn't good enough. I had to sleep my way to the top, right? Or I had to do whatever I was doing to get to where I was. You know, I was really in a toxic company just for this past 10 years. I chose to stay there, right? I chose to stay there with that same stupid mindset that I'm not good enough to be anyplace else. I'm only good enough to be where these people want to see people cry and they act like children and they walk out of meetings. And like, that's the only place I can be. Like, I want you guys to understand that you're good enough, and your mindset is so important to develop at a young age, and not when, you know, it's a continuous mindset. We talk about morning routines. It's not going to be perfect every day. There goes my camera being blurry again. Your mindset's not going to be perfect every day. Your routine's not going to be perfect every day, but every day you can make the choice to be a little bit better at all of those things that are going to start your day, whether it's prayer, whether it's meditation or chanting. Or this morning, I started my day, but I have a new bad habit, which is I've been hitting the snooze. So I got out of bed. And I went straight to the beach and I went for a 4-mile walk and I listened to an hour and a half mindset class, right? Wow. That's how I started my day. It was wonderful. It was reminding me of things that I already knew, but that's how I started my day, to get happy, to remember that I am enough, to remember the subconscious mind controls a lot of things, right? That roommate that we have in our head that we always have to talk to. You know, if you spend 24/7 with a nagging negative roommate in your head, you've really got to do some work to make sure that you can silence those negative voices that are in that are telling you you're not enough. Because guess what? You are. If you need someone to give you permission to let you know that you are enough and you can do it, and you already have everything inside you to get it done. If you need skills, you can use skills to up level. You can acquire those skills on the way, but don't let it trip you up. Don't let it trip you up. I've been a manager forever with no classic management training, right? People have sales. They're good at it. They're naturally great salespeople, but there's a bigger why to why they're doing it. They either believe in the company, they believe in the mission of the company, they believe in the product, they believe in the service, or the job is just a revenue source to fuel them to some bigger why that they have. Right? They're just accumulating wealth and cash so that they can bust through whatever they're doing to go change the world. Find the why, find the internal drive that's going to help you get up in the morning and say, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for the chit chat, for the negative mind chatter, for the people that are going to bring me down, because I've got bigger things, bigger fish to fry. And I've seen, you don't even let this camera get in the way. Speak to the hand, camera. So that's my mindset soapbox today that I'm on, you guys. Just
yeah, you have a lot of patience to manage your camera as well, right?
And I've done all of this. I think I started making over $200,000 a year when I was 30-ish, I think.
Wow.
I didn't realize then that was a good income, right? It was a result. You know how people say if you're doing what you love and you're making a difference, the money will come, right? Yeah. I was doing something that I loved and I was in my flow and I was in my rhythm and I was conquering accounts and the money came, you know? Wow. So if you're really doing it, you're not stopping so much to count all the shekels that you're bringing in, because it's coming in fast and you're still moving to make deals. And it's just coming in, and it has allowed me to live a really nice lifestyle. I've always been a single mom. There's been no second income. My kids' dads don't even pay child support, but I'm very grateful that I've had the opportunity to make a difference for the companies that I've worked for and to bring in the revenue that helps them get to their multi-millions and help mentor women and sales reps all the way through. And I still, to this day, keep in touch with many of the sales reps that reported to me through the years. Wow. Many, many, many of them. We have a text message group. We were just talking, you know, people are passing from all the years of being in sales, and we talk about it. You know, how are you doing? I haven't talked to you in so long. We worked together 30 years ago and we all still keep in touch.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. But that's just testament to building a tribe and building authentic relationships through all the years doing whatever that you do, just to be your authentic self and to not take advantage of people, don't use people, just be your authentic self, but always state your goals and make sure the people around you know where you think you're going. You know, like I'm wherever you want to go, make sure people know that so they can support you and blow wind in yourselves to help you get to where you want to go.
So be attentive to yourself and do not, you know, bother too much about what others say. You have to believe in yourself. So you do. I'm learning all this now.
So your why has to be bigger.
Find your why.
Your why. And it changes through time, through age, through decades. You know, some days it was, my why today is that I'm going to get up and I'm going to get my kids to daycare. You know, when you're a new mom, all those things, you know, the key, you don't know where your keys. I used to always say, how can I conquer the world? How can I change the world when I can't find my keys? You know, those little teeny things, the straw that broke the camel's back for the day. You know, there's no parking place. You broke a nail. Your literature got wet. You spilled coffee all over your outfit before I've bought so many outfits or tops on the road, you know, from all those things. Just take a deep breath. And, you know, I had tons of deodorant and toothpaste and stuff in my car because as an outside sales rep, you know, you have to like, I feel like my office was in my car. I lived in my car all the time. Who knows? I used to take pictures of my work car. You know, there's shoes and flip-flops and literature and note cards and just, it was just a disaster. But that's because I just kept going. You know, I just kept going. But
yeah, it's just being consistent and be love what you're doing and find your why, right?
Yes.
It's not sure. Only find your why for your mission as well as find your why when you wake up every day.
Yes. And, you know, I have a live show, which I think everybody knows, and it's called The Art of Inspired Selling. And it's morphed more into a inspirational show where I interview 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs. And I ask them every, what is it that fuels you to get up every morning and do what you do? Because an entrepreneurial life is different than a sales rep life. I used to say also, you know, when you're VP of sales or at the top, right, you're reporting directly to a CEO, you don't just get to wake up every morning and sell. You know, that's just, when you're still in sales, you just wake up every morning and you have to sell. But when you have to wake up every morning and you have to help make sure all your sales team is selling, and then you have to manage up and make sure that you know what the company goals are and what are the products. And then when the products are coming out, how are we going to position them? And, oh, we don't have marketing literature. And how are we going to train the sales team? And, oh, my gosh, somebody's got to put that on the website. And what about the press release? And what about the specimen processing team? And how are the logistics? It's different. When you get to a higher level and you have all of those things that you have to think about, sometimes you think back to, wow, what if I just woke up and all I had to do today was sell? I only have to manage myself. I only have to manage my morning routine. I only have to manage my happiness, you know, not my kids. You're on the road and then your kids crying because they miss you and you're in a hotel room and they hate the person that they're staying with and they wish you were home and maybe you miss their picture day or you guys maybe have seen some of I have this post that I've done a few times on LinkedIn where my son dressed himself for picture day. His hair's sticking up. He's got sweatpants on. He's got a shirt that's too small. He's got a jacket. He knew he needed to dress for success, but he didn't have mom there to support him. So I have to reframe it and make it fun for me. But really inside, I'd want to cry. Like, I'm not home. I wasn't there when my son lost his first tooth. You know, my oldest son, he lost his first tooth and he told the woman that was staying with him, I'm my mom's only baby and she needs to be here when the tooth fairy comes. So can we hold the tooth till she gets home?
Oh, so beautiful. Wow. Oh my God.
Right? So I mean, the first crawl I missed because he was at daycare, me sprinting for the door. Because I'm going to get charged $1 a minute because the freaking doctor didn't show up. And I'm sitting there waiting for my decision maker to show up. And I know I'm going to get stuck in traffic. And I know I'm going to be late. I'm going to be the last parent again at daycare to pick my kid up. But I waited for the doctor. I waited to make that sell. And how do you put on a happy face when you want to say, listen, dude, I'm late now to pick up my kid. They're going to charge me $1 a minute to be an hour late. He's going to be the last one there again. And my company's not reimbursing me for this extra $60 for being late because you decided I wasn't important enough to come see. Like, you can't say any of that, but it's the reality. Like, those are some of the sacrifices that I've made. And I'm sure other moms have made as well, other single moms. There's nobody to lean on, especially I lived in Florida. My mom lived in Arizona. There was no support in that area, which is ultimately why I relocated from Florida to Arizona, was so that I could have some parental support.
God, especially single parent will have a lot of challenges, right?
Yes.
To manage your kid as well as sales, traveling, leaving a son alone. I can imagine how we
dropping them at school before anybody else shows up in the dark so you can make a 7 or a 7:30 a.m. flight. Like, okay, the school's not open yet. You're in second grade, but if you just sit really safe right here, you'll be safe. I got to make it to this flight. I put my kids through a lot. I've done conference calls tying hockey skates, you know?
Oh, just, so sad.
The thread that through all that story is resilience, persistence. You know, nothing's ever going to be perfect and there's no excuses. Don't make excuses. Just get it done. I don't want to hear the drama. I don't want to hear the whining. Just get it done. As a salesperson, you're there with a quota of the companies depending on you to sell. Figure it out. Figure out a way that you're going to get through all of the obstacles that life puts in front of you to sell what you're going to sell. Get your pre-call plan done, get your literature in order, be organized, have the mindset right, know that you're going into that sales call to move the needle. You might not be closed. You can do a little bit of trial closing, but you're going to move the needle just a little bit so that you can continue to move the process forward. And it's just a system, and it's how I've kind of lived my life too. Yeah, so
it's inspiring to all the audience, I believe, here. Yeah. And what is the advice you want to give a single parent who want to get into sales, grow in sales?
Well, we can start with how old are your kids, right? Make sure that you have a support network. If you have to pay for it, you have to pay for it. But you need to know your A and B people. If I can't make it, who's my A person that's going to pick up my kid for me? I was paying a retired school teacher as well at one point. Make sure you have your support network, your A and your B backup person, and ask for help. I didn't want to ask for help. That's one of my problems, right? I just wanted to I didn't want to be vulnerable with people. Like, I am dying here. When I lived in Miami, women that or the people that worked at the flight desk on Delta knew who I was because I was the last person running for this flight. It seems like back then all flights went from Miami to Atlanta. So the same people worked the gate all this time. Hey, Miss Evans. Yes. As I'm blowing into the door to shut at the very last minute. But if your support network is the people that are going to hold the door for you at the very last minute to get on the airplane, whoever it is to help you get your life done, bring in that support network so that you can relax, you know, and you can take a deep breath. It's okay to go a night early, so that you can be well rested for the appointment in the morning versus, you know, I used to carry my stuff, put makeup in the airport, run. You can, that undue stress of nothing can go with it off with a hitch. Like the flight can't be late. There can't be a long line at the rental car. I can't hit a red light. All of those extra little things that are out of your control. Maybe plan your day one day early so that you get there a night early and you could be well rested for you because you need you time as well. You need to be able to take a deep breath and go into the meeting with a big happy smile. That mommy guilt's tough though. You know, the mommy guilt is tough. And I hear it from female entrepreneurs as well. When I do a training class or something, we talk about it and they say, oh, I can't work, you know, my hours today because I need to play with my kid. They've been here. I feel guilty. I mean, I sat at my desk with one of those boppy pillows. Do you know what that is? I don't know. It looks like a U-shaped donut and you use it for breastfeeding and you kind of put it around your body.
Yeah. I'm aware. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I learned how to balance that boppy pillow on my desk and breastfeed at the same time leaning over my desk so that I could keep typing.
Oh my God.
Okay. I had the infant seat just perfect so it could go on the handle of my Stairmaster so I could have a bottle and work out at the same time or have a laptop on and look at the baby or hold him at the same time. Like I really learned a lot of juggles, a lot of multitasking juggles.
You innovated certain things to manage your kid and work, right?
Yeah. And I even have a story. I used to sell HIV testing back in the day. And my baby must have been very, very new. I don't remember how young, but he was breastfeeding still. And people used to tease me because he didn't cry much. He just sounded like a little chipmunk, just this little noise. And I actually did a trade show with my brand new, okay, first of all, you guys should know that I'm not telling you to do this, but I went in, had the baby on Monday, got out of the hospital on Wednesday, and went back to work on Friday. So there wasn't, I didn't know I could take time off, and I had clients and I had sales to make, whatever. So I had my infant at a trade show that I was running the trade show table by myself, and I was hiding the baby under the skirt of the trade show table.
Oh my God. So sad about the baby.
And it was because I looked at the schedule and I'm like, oh, these people only come out to the table during their breaks. It's not like it was an all day trade show, right? They were just going to come out during breaks. So I'm like, well, I can time it just right where I can take him to the lobby and breastfeed and then come back and hide him under the table again when the next break goes. Oh, and one time somebody goes, what's that noise? I'm like, I'm not sure if it was the baby. I don't know what it was. I mean, and thank goodness I worked in the medical field. I even had, you know, times where when my first baby was teething and he had a fever and the daycare wouldn't take him. So I'd call the nurses ahead of time. I'm like, listen, I have an appointment with the doctor. Can one of you take my baby so I can go see the doctor? And my kid even went on some doctor appointments, you know, because I'm like, listen, he's got a fever. The daycare won't take him, but you're an important target and I need to come see you. So
yeah, I think tough time your baby must have had.
You know, my 21-year-old had multiple scholarships to school. He won the National Hispanic Latina Scholar Award. And he's also a cellist. So he's done well. And I'm very proud of him. Yeah.
So you're a best mother as well as best employee.
A passionate employee, right? And now owner of my own company. And I hope that my contractors that work with me feel valued and cherished because I want them to feel that.
Wow. Yes. Wow. That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, there's easier roads to take. I just think I've taken a lot of hard roads. But that's why I'm mentoring women now. That's why I'm mentoring entrepreneurs. You know, if you find someone that's been through some hard knocks, then you can learn from them. You can learn from them and listen to them. The right teacher shows up when the student is ready. So hopefully some of my messages will help you guys.
And I want to talk about the social selling. What is, it may be a basic question for you. First, I would like to understand, what is social selling? Then we talk about LinkedIn.
Yes. So social selling is a part of your prospecting actions that takes place when you're looking for new clients and you're doing your research. Now, you know, you guys talked about how old I am, right? So we didn't have internet. We didn't have cell phones. We used beepers. We didn't have GPS. We used a map and make copies of it. And I draw with the yellow line. So now you have this opportunity with social selling to really understand your target market and where they are. Where are they receiving their information? What are they talking about online? Where are they active on social media? How can you interact with them? And how can you reach a decision maker through a platform like LinkedIn without having to go through the gatekeeper? So that's just a very short definition of social selling. I talk about it on my website and on some of my articles. You can read in depth and you can type in what is social selling. But social selling it happens at the top of your funnel when you're prospecting and you're looking for people and you're starting to engage with your market. So one of the things that sales reps don't think about it. Here, I'm blurry again. They don't think about on the awareness spectrum, where is their target on the awareness spectrum? Are they unaware of their problem? Are they unaware that your brand exists? Are they aware that there's a solution for their problem? Are they aware that your brand or your business has a solution for their problem? So understanding the awareness of your target market and then creating content online or engaging with them online at their stage of awareness to move them next to the next stage of their buyer's journey, you can do all of that effectively and strategically through social selling and using social platforms like LinkedIn if you're a B2B person, or an Instagram if you have more of a lifestyle brand, or a Facebook, wherever they are. You need to meet them where they are. You know, it's a cliche. Meet your target market where they are with the right message at the right time. So that's what social selling is. I use LinkedIn because I work with B2B service-based entrepreneurs, because my background, as we've just talked about, is selling a service. And so I best relate to those people that understand what it's like to sell service, because it's not tangible. There's not a product that they're demonstrating. It's a service. And a lot of times those services are commoditized. And a lot of times representatives and people that are selling that really have to dig deep to find the unique value proposition, which could be themselves, to make a difference and to stand out from the crowd when they're doing sales. Some of the things I work with my clients on is building lead magnets and understanding, well, I have this whole methodology, right, that I call the S-Cube method. And I'll quickly go through those five steps of the S-Cube method. The S-Cube method stands for social selling strategy. And I'm a science geek. S cubed. Okay, that's where it came from. But the first thing when we talk about whether you're an employee or an entrepreneur is having a consistent personal brand, a consistent brand. And Thea and I have worked on this as well, right? Your colors that you emote, the personality, your energy, whatever that is, needs to shine through and everything you do, because you're building an authentic business, you're building your culture, you're building your personal brand. So we work with people on creating their consistent personal brand and their digital footprint across all their social media platforms, dependent on where their clients are. And then the U in the cubed is understand your goals. And we have KPIs that we measure back, because if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So we understand what their goals are. Most people say, I want to create a LinkedIn profile or a visual image that resonates with my target market and lets them think something positive of me so that I can have inbound leads. Well, there's a lot of work to do that. It's not just creating a LinkedIn profile and think that you can hire this lead generating agency and they're going to generate leads and you're going to close deals. Not the truth. So B is building the right target market. So a lot of people think that they can be all things to all people. Same with sales. You know, if you're working for a company, you need to know who the perfect client is for the product or service that you're serving in your area as well. It could be different across the country where you're selling. People might not use something in one part of the country, but they use it in another part of the country. So really getting crystal clear on your target market and how your service or product solves the problem. So we do a lot of gap analysis about what the problem is, how they solved it, and really articulating that gap of what the services that they provided, how they solved the problem. Engaging with your target market online is super important. I don't know how many people, that's one of the myths we talked about or something. I have this 25 myth checklist. Just because I connect with you doesn't mean you can sell to me. So remember that, right? Don't show up and throw up. Don't show up and throw up with a target either. I've had reps that do that, man. They just get in there and they just want to talk. They have that appointment. They don't let their prospect talk. They just talk. They just talk. And I've kicked people, or I'd say, what I think they're trying to say to you, you know, you can interject. You have to give your prospect time. You have to listen. You have, you know, two ears and one mouth. Listen to what they're saying. Part of social selling is social listening. What are they saying? What are they talking about? Engaging with them. I have a book that I've written on my website that gives you different funnels for engaging with your target market through DMs. And then the D in the system is developing offline relationships with your online connections. Once again, I have clients and physicians that I've worked with from years ago that I'm still connected with on Facebook. Like, we've moved that relationship into a personal relationship because I truly cared about them and what they did. And they saw that, and we still stay in touch today. So I encourage you to always build those authentic relationships, because you may not be at that company forever. You move to another company, you still carry your targets with you as long as you don't have a non-compete. But those are some of the things you can always build. You can always build your education and take it wherever you go. You can always build your personal brand and take it wherever you go. You can always create your systems and your processes for how you sell and take it wherever you go. Same with your network, same with your leads, same with your prospects, those people. So always be authentic and genuine in everything you do so that you can take them everywhere, everywhere through the years. You know, it just helps you with your selling. This camera, maybe I should quit moving so much. All right. So let me dig real quick in. We only have time for the top five. I made some notes. If anybody on here wants that, the full list of 25 common myths to avoid when creating content on LinkedIn to grow your business, it's a little bit of a long headline, but one of the target market questions I get a lot is, how often should I post on LinkedIn? So absent a content strategy, absent a social selling strategy, I call these people spaghetti throwers, because they tend to just wake up and say something because they think they need to say something on social media. It's okay to also do that, but having a strategy about how frequently am I going to post on social media needs to be consistent. And if it's overwhelming to you and causing you to be stuck, then back off and just post 3 times a week or whatever feels comfortable to you, so that when you build your audience, they know that you're still going to show up on those days. So that's the first myth that I bust in my 25 myths, is you do not have to post daily. Until you understand what type of content your target market is going to engage with. Maybe your target market, you know, you need to do some deep thought about their mind, their disc, or are they visual? Are they kinesthetic? Do they need to hear you? Do they just want to read? Do they like videos better? Play with some content. Find where you have the best engagement and then lean into that content piece, that type of asset. And then you could start posting more frequently. So at first, you can do some testing. We're going to have trial and failure, but make sure that you understand what your target market will engage with before you ramp up the more frequency of posts. Because also, you can start to post daily on a platform like LinkedIn, and then you're competing with yourself on your posts. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to compete with your audience is confused. One day you're talking about mindset, and one day you're talking about, I don't know what. You know, that's a whole other thing to talk about, is understanding your subject matter expertise and really swimming in that lane. The other myth that I'm going to bust is that you have to have an image with every post you put on social media. So that is also a myth. Right now, what's performing really well on a platform like Facebook are, if you guys look at Dilaga's background, this fuchsia, that color pops, right? And the yellow, the hot pinks, even though it might not be a brand color, right now those colors are causing people to stop, scroll, and engage. That's not image, so to speak. It's just changing a background color. And on LinkedIn, one of the hottest performing posts right now are polls, and those have absolutely no images whatsoever. So don't get caught up that you have to have all this beautiful branding and the, you know, how, what, I can't post today because I didn't get busy on Canva last night. You can post on a single subject with a call to action and still get engagement and get a point across without an image. So there's 1,300 characters in your post allowed on LinkedIn, including your hashtags, including your emojis. If you've followed any of my talks, I always talk about having emojis in your posts. Go look up I have a whole series on it. So anyway, you don't have to have pictures on, you don't have to have images on your posts. Myth two, bomb. Okay. So myth number three, we're going to talk about, you know, people that might be leaving corporate America or corporate, do you call it corporate India? No. So we say corporate America, maybe a corporate job, right?
You corporate jobs, we say.
Corporate jobs. You don't have to get caught up in vanity metrics about number of followers or number of connections, or you do not have to have over 1,000 connections to build a successful pipeline. It's really quality over quantity. We just talked about the fact that back in my 30s, I was making over $200,000. Did we have LinkedIn then?
No.
Did we have Facebook then?
No.
I had no following. Right? So you can build a successful pipeline without having vanity metrics online, right? It's going back, we can call it old school if you wish, but it's strategic prospecting, it's consistency, and it's asking for the sell. I talked about this in one of my Facebook groups yesterday. Don't tiptoe around the subject. Make sure they know that you're there to sell them something, right? You're not the cookie carrier. You're not the donut carrier. You're not the lunch girl. You are a professional sales representative. And as a courtesy, you might bring those things to make your staff have a happier day. But you're there to get a job done and to sell them something. So make sure that that leads through. We're going to move on to the fourth myth that we're going to bust. And that is every post you do online needs to be a value-based post. And let's see, we have some people, anybody in the chat, can you drop what, do you know what a value-based post is? Does anybody know? And Tilaga, you can comment on that if nobody comments. What is a value-based post?
I'm into sales, right? So how to approach a customer to really, you know, build the relationship. So some tips to build the relationships are, there are so many myths, like salespeople means they're liars and they're talkative. I think those are all the myths we have to break. So that kind of adding value to the sales professionals, we have to post the contents. You have to be a good listener, you know?
Yeah. I'm making notes and I have notes here. So there's three different types of posts that you can do on social media, and they would be educational, inspirational, or entertaining. So they pretty much fall into those three types of categories. So if you're doing a value-based post, it's more of an educational post. So you're educating your target market on the value that your product or service could deliver them, right? You're always delivering, instead of selling, you're delivering value. So I'm going to bust the myth that you always have to do educational value-based content, especially on LinkedIn, which tends to be it's a fabulous platform because there's not haters like on Facebook. I see, you know, it's a very kind, more sophisticated audience, I'll say. But you can also do inspirational and entertaining posts. So you could do something funny. Like I could do this, like how to not have a camera go blurry when you're on a talk show. But, you know, you could do funny things. You can come out of your shell a little bit, be more vulnerable because you are a person with a 3D, right? You have all these dimensions. And when you're establishing your personal brand, you want people to know some things that you like. I love the beach. I love horses. I love bright colors. I love to travel. I love to drink wine. I don't drink coffee as much. I drink green tea, matcha green tea lattes. So let people know some of those things so that they feel like they know you, right? You know that the whole other cliche that they have, know, like, and trust. How does somebody not really know you? But the more things you let them know about your 3D person, the more they actually feel like they start to know you, right? So then that's how they can know you, to start to like or not like you. And then that will lead more towards trust. So busted. You don't have to have a value-based post every time. The last one annoys me, and we talked about it. No, we didn't talk about this one. This annoys me, and I'm just going to, people might see that it works or it doesn't work. And remember, there's people that can make a cold call and throw up on the first cold call and make a sale. Like all these things I'm telling you not to do, people have successfully done them in the past. Someone did it somewhere and had some type of success. So people keep doing it. I had another post where I said, just because you connect with me doesn't mean you can sell to me or don't throw up in my inbox. And somebody said, yeah, but I just had a client that closed a $1 million deal. And I'm like, just because somebody makes an adult onesie doesn't mean everybody should wear them.
Yeah, that's true.
So some people have success. This one I don't really like to see it is someone will do a post and then they'll tag about 25 people after in the post or in the comments, right, to mess with the algorithm. It does help with the algorithm because you're getting comments and then people might look and then, but the more people you tagged on LinkedIn, the more engagement you'll have. That is a myth. It might be engagement, but it might not be the right kind of engagement. It maybe isn't your target market engaging unless you have a lead that you want to tag very nicely when you're writing a post, when maybe you're writing about a problem that you know your target market has. And on your top 100, maybe 10% of those people you know have that problem and maybe you want to get their eyeballs on it. So you're tagging them for that reason. Or what I would do is I would write the post and I would quietly DM them and say, hey, I thought about you when I was writing this post. Here's the link to the post. You know, have a happy day or something. So then they don't feel called out in the 720 million people that are on LinkedIn where they feel like they have to comment just because you tagged them. You can do that more tactfully, I believe, through a DM or through an email, however your target market best digests information to get eyeballs on your post. And you know what? Just be a really consistent poster with valuable information that's entertaining as well and inspirational, and you'll do just fine. And so those are my 5 myths. If anybody wants a copy of all 25, you can email me and I'll send you the PDF or message me through LinkedIn and I'll drop the PDF in your DM.
Yeah. So your LinkedIn, the same name, right? Whatever is displaying now.
Yes. Yes. Catherine E. Nunez.
Okay, fine. And yes, That's a lot of myths we could hear from you today. And I want to know, like, if somebody who is starting the business, right? So what is that they really have to focus upon on LinkedIn?
If someone's just starting a business.
Yeah, the business, yeah. And they should have much post or engagement LinkedIn.
Focus on building their personal brand on LinkedIn first. And then what I do with my clients is I help them understand how they can create posts that are in line with their offering that are also in line with the buyer's journey. So if you're just doing something and you're new, most of your posts are going to be awareness. So you're building awareness about what it is, how can people be better at it, what are other people doing, and then why should they want to work with you? Creating a strategy around those posts and maybe about every 5 or 6 call to actions is book an appointment with me so we can talk about more. We can talk about it more. So creating a really strong foundation about your subject matter expertise and about how your package or product solves the problem of your target market. That's the strategy that I would put in place.
Okay. And my next question is, do you think storytelling, you know, few people are saying, I don't know whether it is a myth or not again, you know, like putting storytelling will have more engagements. What do you think about it?
Yes, for sure. For sure. And we both know Cynthia Barnes. She's the founder of NAWSP. She likes to use the Pixar method for storytelling. So I've used that a few times in some of my longer posts. So every post that you write needs to have a structure to it. There's a bam in your face. You know, you're either calling people out or you're stating something that makes them want to stop and read it. And then you're telling a story in your post about a client or yourself and how everything was going around. And then boom, something happened. And then how you turned that around and how you're the hero of the story now. So you can use storytelling in every post that you do. It's just making sure that you're formatting it so that there's a beginning and an end.
Okay. And so you suggest all B2B sales businessmen or businesswomen, they have to be on LinkedIn. Because
absolutely.
I'm talking with, you know, most of them are not active in LinkedIn. What do you suggest to those?
Well, LinkedIn is my platform. That's the one that resonates best with me. People are building million-dollar businesses on Facebook. I am saying to you, find your target market, not where they're watching cat videos, but where they're actually picking up industry information that you can deliver and they'll take action on. So there's statistics that are out there that say businesses are more likely to engage with a sales representative that has shown their subject matter expertise. And the best way to do that would be on a platform like LinkedIn. Facebook has ads. Facebook is great for groups. I love Facebook for groups. I have groups on Facebook. Instagram is great as well for statistics and for lifestyle brands and for building your personal brand, for giving people sneak peek of what you do. If you're a speaker, you're speaking on stages, that's a great platform as well. Twitter's great, especially if you're politically motivated or you have an opinion and you want to tweet it out real quick. So understanding, you can be active on all the platforms if you want, but for different reasons, but make sure more than anything, you know where your target market is active or you're doing it for a waste of time.
And one advantage I personally feel being in LinkedIn is you do not need any advertisement or investment to get the leads.
No, inbound leads, content strategy. Yes, most definitely. I don't do LinkedIn ads. As a matter of fact, I did reach out to a LinkedIn ad company and it's $3,000 a month for them to manage your LinkedIn ads. So if you are a very successful business and you have deep pockets, LinkedIn ads are great. If you're just starting out, you don't have $3,000 a month to have somebody manage the ads. You can't do everything, right? You have to decide as well, are you going to scale your business? Are you going to always work in it? Or are you going to work on it? Those are like advanced things to think about, but there's no need to do ads on LinkedIn if you're just starting out, especially.
Okay, so that's a great insight about LinkedIn strategy. So I want to have three your favorite selling skills because it's a sales platform, right? So what is your favorite sales skills?
My favorite selling skills are strategic prospecting. I used to do this talk on strategic prospecting, which leads to social selling. So prospecting is one of my favorite selling skills is making sure that you understand how many people you need to fill your pipeline as well. That's all part of prospecting. Presenting, I love to present and to engage with my client. So that would be, what would that skill be? That would be presentation skills.
Yeah.
Understanding. I've spoken to a lot of people. I'm online all the time. I'm showing up. It's being visible. So that's a selling skill, is making sure that you are articulating. You're not saying so well, and having a lot of those things that can be improved upon. We won't call them bad habits. They're just something that you can improve upon. And the last thing is asking for the sale and trial closing. Always be closing. Always make sure to do a trial to ask for the business. So what's standing in the way of you sending your next specimen? That would be what one of the things are. What, now that we've addressed A, B, and C, I've gone through all of your objections? Is there anything that I'm missing here? No. Okay. Who do I need to speak to make sure that we can move this process forward? Like assuming the sell and getting your person to move forward. So that would be closing skills. So those are, that would be a beginning, a middle, and an end that are some of my favorite.
Okay. And what is that, your secret of success, whatever you are today?
Persistence, mindset for sure. And just getting the win. You know, I always say I'm a deal junkie. So I just know that things are going to work out. I know the sell is going to happen. You just have a little bit of an attitude and sass. Like you have no idea who you're dealing with. Like you might've said no today, but I'll be back tomorrow. And I'll be back tomorrow with a better offer. Now that I understand what you're, you know, what it was, I'll be back again. You know, just persistence, overcoming objections and finding it. Finding the puzzle, finding the key to the puzzle and getting the deal closed. And, you know, the closed deal might not look like you thought it was going to look in the beginning. So really becoming attached to a deal closing, but maybe not how it has to happen, not how the deal has to close. So women are different negotiators than men. We tend to want everybody to sing kumbaya and be happy in a deal. Right? There's not a winner and a loser. There's a how did everybody win in this deal mentality. And so feeling really good about a sell. Even now when somebody pays my invoice, I do a happy dance. Like there's nobody around. I kind of look and I'm like, woo, you've been paid, it says, you know, and I do a little happy dance. When I find a penny and I pick it up, I twirl around in a circle and I do a happy dance.
It's so, celebrating your wins, right? Smaller wins.
Celebrating, yes, every small step. So I like to say that, you know, every success is a stepping stone of life. Like if all those little wins, you string them along, those are all the stepping stones that you then step on to lead your path to success. So celebrate them all the things. And if there's a loss, you know, I'm a really good, I can turn it around somehow, you know, like what's the gift in this, you know, and you look at the gift is not here today. I didn't get this deal today because I'm not sure, but I'm going to dissect it and I'm going to get better and I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to keep going. You know, I don't need to lick any wounds. I'm just going to brush off the dirt and pick myself up and go again. So.
Wow. That's great. And the last one is, favorite podcast or books?
I don't have a favorite podcast today. This is my favorite book for today that I have sitting on my desk. You saw I grabbed it really quick. And so I have all of the Dr. Seuss books that I used to read to my children. And I picked this book up just recently. And it starts with the guy talking about how I will go into the zoo. I want to see it. Yes, I do. Right. So he goes through his story about getting rejected from the zoo. And then he shows the kids, you know, how he can change his spots and what he can do. And he just can't understand why they wouldn't want him in the zoo. He can make his spots go all over. And then he, at the very end, he says, tell me now, you two, will they put me in the zoo? And they say, we like all the things you do. We like your spots. We like you too, but you should not be in the zoo. No, you should not be in the zoo. With all the things that you can do, the circus is the place for you. And so that book was really great, especially with me teaching people about understanding your target market. Same with understanding the business you should be in. Same with understanding the companies you should work for. You've got all of this potential, all of this bundle inside you. And if the people you're around cannot appreciate the person you are today, then you shouldn't be in the zoo. you should go find the circus, right? You should find the circus, the tribe, the people that are going to welcome you with open arms and are just going to help you become the best you can be, which is what that's my goal, is to help people become the best version of themselves with whatever gifts I was given. I want to use those to help people move forward. And that's my why. You know, how can I help somebody today? That's what I say to myself when I wake up in the morning. So this book was just a remember. I don't know why I pulled it off the shelf yesterday, but I read it and I'm like, oh, that's so good. I'm going to leave it here on my desk for inspiration. Maybe I'm going to write an article about it or something, but that was my favorite book for this week.
It's so relating to sales, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Your product isn't a fit. Well, go find somewhere else that it's a fit. Don't try to fit a round peg in a square hole, right? Go find the right product match, the right service match, the right client match, but do it, you know, do it with ease and grace. Do it being professional. They may not be ready. You don't know ever what that other person is going through. So today they might not be able to receive your message, but there are thousands of other people, thousands of other things, but that strategic prospecting will help. So at least you're shooting fish in the right barrel, right? You're not trying to get in the wrong barrel. Won't work.
Okay, Catherine, so it's end of the show. So I'm sure all the audience have a lot of insights about the mindset, about LinkedIn and your success story. So thanks a lot. It's an honor to have you here on the show. Thank you.
Okay, you guys, looking forward to hearing from you. If anybody needs me, you know where to find me.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Sell Like Her podcast. Do subscribe and share so that it reaches the maximum women to get benefit by listening successful women's stories. Let's join together and support each other to change the face of sales. Meet you in the next episode. Until then, bye. Take care.